just raise it up a little.
It's not going to
sag. Is it going to sag? Not if I clamp it up really tight. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Allen, Mrs. Allen, and Philip, if I may differentiate you by using that name, for letting me come and chat to you about your visits to the Isle of Man over the years. I wondered, Mrs. Allen, could you just say your full name and date of birth, please?
My full name is Mrs. Doreen Marie Matilde Allen.
Thank you. And your date of birth?
21st of May 1922.
Thank you. And Mr. Allen, the same question.
John Allen, date of birth, 6th of May 1916.
Philip John Allen, 17th of May 1948.
Thanks very much. Well, I believe the person who visited the Isle of Man the longest time ago is Mr. Allen. Can you tell me, if you can remember, your very first visit, how old you were, and what it was like?
I visited with my father, mother and sister when I was 10 years old. My father had to go away, come back at intervals, but we stayed a month in a boarding house on the edge of the Moorach. And one of us there, father taught me to sail, which I loved, and sadly I've never been able to do any much since. But I was apparently at the age of 10 sufficiently good to be asked to take old ladies for trips round the lake.
What other memories do you have of that holiday?
Very few, except possibly mountain or hill walking, because we had no car. The other great thing was, of course, the families that we met there. I think the most glamorous one was Uncle Joe, Jochen.
Joe Tier, a Ballaskilly, or Joe Jochen was the one.
Joe Jochen, who was the representative of Carter's Tested Seeds.
Willie, Uncle Will.
Uncle Will, that's right. I'm so sorry, Uncle Will, who was a tremendous character, with a considerable thirst. He lived at Ballaquirk
in Bride.
In Bride, he used to go in to Ramsey to quench his thirst in the evening. He used to do that with a horse and cart, but then when the firm gave him a car, he had to drive it himself, which he found a somewhat hazardous business.
So your father was mostly coming to the Isle of Man to see relatives and have a holiday at the same time, is that right?
Certainly, yes.
Do you recall what your boarding house on the Moorach was like? Do you remember what it was like inside and what your daily routine was like?
It was comfortable. My mother was quite a critical person as far as accommodation was concerned. She was quite happy there. She had to look after my sister and myself most of the time. I loved it very, very much indeed. And I was only very sad that I wasn't able to go there until my father had died. And I went and stayed at various members of the family at Ballaskilly and Ballaquirk, and at that lovely cottage.
The Craig in Andreas.
The Craig at Andreas, the most charming woman who sadly had a husband who had TB and had to sleep in a little cottage in the grounds. But that was a lovely experience.
And if I could just interpose there, that was Robert Sale Corlett, who was a member of the House of Keys and I believe a member of a legislative council after that, but I can't be sure. That was her husband.
But my memories were very, very, very happy there, amusing. Bessie Teer, I liked very much, the unmarried sister of Joe Teer.
So
when you were a young lad on your holidays on Ramsey, yes. What sort of things would you do to occupy your holiday days? What were your favourite things?
I've always been fond of walking, and I explored round at Ramsey. There was a nice pocket golf club, which was very inexpensive, and there I met a couple of charming young ladies. I was an innocent sort of bloke and I didn't really know what to do with them, but I enjoyed being in their company and up at the golf course, and also I took them sailing on the Moorock. Mm-hmm. And I cannot remember very much more.
You went shooting rabbits with your cousin, didn't
you?
Oh,
yes, I did, out towards the Point of Ayr.
Was it very different to life back home when you went to the Isle of Man? Was it very different, or was it pretty much the same?
Well, it was not very different, because we had lost our money by then, and so I wasn't used to luxury at home. Mm. And I just enjoyed the simple things, wandered out there. I loved the Manx accent. I loved being able to get out in a fishing boat occasionally. Mm.
Can I ask also, do you recall whether your mother, would that everything be cooked and prepared? Or did she have to go and buy the food which the landlady would then cook? Do you remember that at all?
No, I don't.
Or you wouldn't know that.
No.
Perhaps be more her side. Because
no.
In Ramsey they still did that system, I heard.
No. Because that was way back when I was only 10, you see. Yeah.
So when did you visit again? Was that with Mrs. Allen? Or did you visit before?
No, this was when I was a junior in Barclays Bank. I put in all the gory details. I was due to go off on Saturday and catch the last Saturday boat to the island, but I was a junior at Barclays New Malden, and nobody stayed behind, even though they knew I was dashing out, to help me with the post. So I missed my train to Liverpool, and I had to stay in Liverpool not only on Saturday night but also on Sunday night, as there were no Sunday boats running. And as my salary then was about £70 a year, this was rather eating into my meagre supplies of cash. But I still loved it there.
So you just had to get the next boat and proceed?
Yes. I just had to stay in Liverpool and wander around Liverpool for Sunday. And then take the first boat on Monday morning.
And was that a time when you stayed with relatives, or were you staying in the guest?
No, I had to go in rooms, the cheapest rooms I could find anywhere.
Oh, in Liverpool.
I meant on the Isle of Man. Yes. Did you then on the Isle of Man stay with relatives or in?
Yes, I did, and the Ballaskilly and the Ballaquirk. And I visited the, would it be Cronkbane?
No, it wouldn't have been Cronkbane. The Craig again, probably. Did you stay at the Craig?
They had a rather nice house that...
St. Bridget's, where Daniel Teer lived?
Daniel Teer, yes.
On the corner of the...
Yes, that's right.
in Lazare, on the where the Bride Road leaves the Jerby Road, just out of Ramsey. You probably know the spot.
Yes.
So when did Mrs. Allen? When did you first experience the island? Can you remember coming over and?
Well, all this was before the war, of course, and we weren't married till after the war. And let me see, when did we go to the Isle of Man? About 19, oh, before you were born, did we?
Yes, 1947, I think. And you, because we've got
photographs
in the album of John with a, he's shot his first rabbit, I think. He's holding up a rabbit that he's shot on. While staying with the Tears Ballast Gillings.
Did he tell you about it? What happened before you were due to go? Had you heard what it was like? And
I think I most likely had. But you stayed with some peculiar aunt.
Yes, your Aunt Etta in Douglas, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I should have put that in. On my first trip over there by myself, I stayed with Aunt Etta, whose husband was the general manager of the Iron Man Steam Packet Company.
Yeah, that was Tom Crane.
Tom Crane, and a very nice chap. But she was the barmy member of the family.
Yes, she was number 12, and she said that she was made up of all the leftover bits and pieces.
And I can remember all kinds of things. I wanted to go to bed reasonably early because, you know, she was then, I suppose, 70 or so. And but she wanted to stay up and talk, and she talked and she talked, and her false teeth fell out in the fireplace, but nothing would stop her talking. And usually we got to bed between 12 and 1 o'clock in the morning.
Did you also have a chance to experience any of the entertainments in Douglas on that visit? Did you ever go dancing at the palace or anything like that, or the theatre?
No, because my interests were not that kind of thing. And I hadn't got the money. That was the real answer. I had very little money at all. I was working on a salary. I don't know what it was.
You said £70 a year just
now. Yeah, something like that, yes. And even if you multiply that by 20 to get to days, that's not a great deal. And but I love the island from the word go. And above all, what I must tell you, I must get this in, that father read Manx books, but particularly T.E. Brown, with a genuine accent. I knew it was genuine because when I went over with him, he could talk the genuine accent to the genuine locals. And I was so disappointed when I heard these records of T.E. Brown spoken in nothing remotely like a Manx accent. But he had it all. He, as I say, would go out all night with a fisherman, fishing all night when he was.
So would that be something that you thought, you know, you enjoyed about the island, that it was a different, and they spoke differently, and it felt like a place all of its own?
Oh, yes, very much so, and it was a land of my father's.
Yes, perhaps we could just fit in a little biographical detail there about your father. He was John Percy Allen, and he was also a poet in a small way, and he did have some of his verse published in the Ramsey Courier in the 1930s, both in normal English and Manx dialect, and some of his, well, at least one of his poems has been resurrected. He wrote a poem about the Ayres. He was very fond of the Ayres, and one of his poems was republished a number of years ago on the occasion of the oil refinery being refused planning permission. That was republished. So that sets John Percy Allen in context there.
And to put him a little more in context, he was an educated lover of English, particularly Robert Louis Stevenson, and he when he was about 20, he delivered
a paper
a paper to the, I think it was the Birkenhead Debating Society or Literary Society, which my grandfather had printed.
I was just also going back to what we were talking about before, Mrs. Allen and you, we were just talking about your first visit to the island.
Yeah.
Did you stay with your husband's relatives at the time, or did you stay in a guest house?
Yes, I think we stayed in a guest house in Port Erin, and we stayed a couple of nights, I think, at the Craig.
At the Craig, yes.
Yes.
No,
carry on.
Could you remember what the guest house was like and your impressions?
Well, it was quite different from hotels, of course, because one had to be down to meals in the morning, 9 a.m., and in the evening, 6:30 p.m., and we just sat at a long table, I think.
We sat at one table. Long table.
The food was very good. No choice, but very, very good cooking.
Nice people.
Enjoyed that.
Food.
Was that the Peveril in Port Erin you're talking about now?
Well,
it was on the way
up towards the entrance to
the Braddock Glen.
The Braddock Glen.
What else do you remember about it?
The first time.
That place and that time, yes.
Oh gosh, it was a long time ago, you know.
Okay. Did you think, oh, this is old fashioned, or did you think, oh, this is a nice place, just like home? Or
yes, I didn't think it was old fashioned because we used to spend our holidays at a place called Cricketh on the Llyn Peninsula in North Wales, and also at a little village in the mountains called Bwlch Gwyn.
How did the Isle of Man compare to those, did you think?
Well, I think the Isle of Man was easier to get about because I was quite young when we went to these holidays before I was married, and I can't remember much about them, except we had a CSSM, what was that called, Children's Special Service Mission, which had build a great sand castle on the beach, and then we used to have to decorate it with shells and seaweed and stuff, and then we all sang hymns. My brother wouldn't come.
So what was the next time after that you went? Did you come regularly? Yes, or was it a rare occasion?
I can't really remember, except that when you and Rosemary were there, we stayed at the Hydro in Port Erin.
Yes. I think you missed out the Bradder Hotel in 1958 at Port Erin when you came to spy out the land to bring us over the next year.
The Bradder Hotel, which was that?
Well, that's the one we were looking at in the album on Wednesday.
Oh, what a large one by itself on the sea side.
No, that was the Peveril. The Bradder Hotel was set back above the the path that leads to the Bradder Glen, and that had that sort of sawtooth hedge in front of it, and where there's now a road. That's where you stayed in 1958, briefly. And then in 59 we came and stayed in the Hydro.
Yes.
So can you tell me the story about coming to scout over? Did you remember that one? To see if it was
well,
suitable for the family?
Well, I didn't come. My parents went, and I was left behind with my mother's parents in Wrexham. And they had a bit of a hard time with my sister and me because we tended to fight and I played, well, no, we'll pass over that and because it wasn't in the Isle of Man.
Thanks. So basically your parents, you came over to see if it was a good hotel for a family to stay in.
That was the idea, yes, yes.
And did you plan on making a longer stay that time, or?
Oh yes, we stayed a fortnight that time with the children. Can't remember when that was. My daughter would be about 6, I should think, and Philip.
9.
About 9, was she?
Yes, she was 9 and I was
11. Is this when we were at the Hydro?
Yes.
Mm. Oh yes.
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh, it was lovely. They organised it so well. There was a big ballroom there. And the children had about an hour of their own... Up to 9 o'clock. Of their own sort of doing conga trains and...
We sat round having coffee and so drinks, and the ballroom was theirs. And they did congas, and they went all round the bedrooms of this big Hydro hotel.
This is being rebuilt, you know.
And what was lucky about it was that the single rooms all faced into a quadrangle, and the parents were in double rooms, you see, and the children were in single rooms, you see, so they could kick up out of a hell of a noise and didn't worry us, you see.
So you thought that was a good thing to let the children be looked after?
Oh, yes.
This is for you. That's the conga train in the Hydro Hotel Port Erin. This is us sitting round also in the ballroom. That's probably the Gay Gordons. You see, my father has a young lady on each arm.
Lovely. Oh, that's great. So did you enjoy the social life of the hotel? Tell me
about that. Yes. We sort of went into the ballroom and sat down, and other people sat down with us, and we soon made friends with quite a lot of people there. And
we went with friends to start with, didn't we?
Oh yes, who we had met somewhere else.
Yes. In Wales.
And oh yes, it was lovely. In the daytime, we used to play beach cricket on the sands with the children and other parents. And we used to swim, and Philip used to dam up streams. And, we walked and did various things.
It was a place of character because, what was his name? Hughes, was it?
Clegg, the proprietor.
Clegg. Hopeless. Clegg worked like a galley slave. He was the chef and the order of the goods and everything else, and his wife considered that her job was confined to sitting at the bar and drinking with the guests.
That was her biggest work.
She was a three-letter word, which when goes moo.
So the guest would notice you observed the character of the proprietor and his wife, you wouldn't.
Oh yes. Oh yes, because
I don't know if it's interesting, but Philip got scarlet fever.
Ah, yes, that was in 1961 when we came the second time.
Oh, yes. He caught it from a bunk down in the boat, I think. And we were very unpopular because they carried him out down the back stairs on a stretcher.
Yes, very steep
and narrow, yes. I went down vertically pretty
to
well.
To the hospital.
Why did
they
do
ambulance
that?
Well,
why?
They didn't want the people to see this boy with spots all over.
Because it's a disease which is rare, and there isn't any set way of dealing with it. But there was an Irish doctor there who was very down to earth, quickly got round to getting him into the hospital. And
Nobles, was it called?
Yes.
I don't know, I remember, it was to me, I think, he handed the pills, wasn't it? He said,
take these.
They won't hurt you, but they may do you some good.
Yes, they won't do him any harm, and he might do him some good.
So I can't believe they carried you out on a stretcher on
the
back.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember?
Oh, yes.
You were conscious.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I mean, I was...
What, can you tell me about that day? What happened and the events leading up to it?
Well, it was several days because, as my mother said, we would come over on the boat from Liverpool, and I loved to go below in the big accommodation that they had in those days with all the bunks, and I would pull a blanket over me, and probably I caught it off one of those blankets or something. And the first part of our holiday went quite normally, but then I started getting very tired and probably with the symptoms of this disease.
I got very cross with him when we walked up, marched up South Barul.
I think it was, yes.
I couldn't understand why he wasn't getting just lazy.
That's right, and I think the last day before I collapsed, we were on Ramsey, on the beach at Ramsey. I think I've got pictures of me looking very pale there. And then I just took to my bed, and as we said, we summoned the doctor, and he came along, and he diagnosed German measles at first, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you spent... I think you'd had German measles, and you spent a long time nursing me and bathing my forehead
fever.
And so on, and keeping the fever down. And I was it wasn't that unpleasant. I was just sweating a great deal and very weak. And then the doctor came the next day and he said, I think it's scarlet fever and you better not, nobody better go near him.
And he wanted to sweep through the
no.
hotel.
And at that point they summoned the ambulance, and I think it came in the evening, didn't it, the ambulance? And it parked up that side rough sort of track that goes up on the upper side of the Hydro Hotel, and that's where the back door was, with the back stairs leading to it, and they brought this stretcher and carried me out. And I do remember I was sufficiently conscious because I was keen to know which route the ambulance would take to go to Douglas, whether it would go via Colby or whether it would go by Ronald's Way. And I was trying to work out if we crossed the level crossing of Ballasalla or not.
Has he told you that from the word go, he has been mad about roads?
A man with a good facility for that, yeah.
Yes.
Can I just ask also, how did the proprietor react when you told him of your son's condition?
Oh, she was horrified that he should dare to get scarlet fever. I was not to mention it to anybody. And when
they
had to fumigate the room, sort of put ceiling all around the door and fumigate the room, because they wouldn't be able to let it if any bugs were hanging about. And you came back after about a week. Were you a week in hospital?
Certainly no more, because we were able to resume our holiday in the normal way. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got to Nobles, the thing was wearing off in any way.
Yes.
And it was a marvellous hospital, wasn't it?
Yes.
A new wing.
There was hardly anybody else there, and that pleased me because I had the place to myself.
I got a picture.
And the doctor came in and said,
with him.
Yes. And he asked me what the trouble was, which amazed me that he didn't know what my trouble was.
Goodness me.
I said, it's scarlet fever, isn't it? And he said, no, I don't want to know the diagnosis. What are the symptoms? And so I told him as best as I could.
So what other memorable incidents happened on your Manx holidays over the years? What else springs to mind?
The fire at Port Erin, when the ancient Manx fire tender turned up to try to put it out, a great big grass fire on the steep bank that goes down from the hotel's road down to the beach.
It was summoned by a maroon being set off, and about 40 minutes later it arrived.
Yes.
Meanwhile, blazing.
Yes. And then it went away again, and the fire flared up again a few hours later, I think, or maybe the next day. They had to come back and finish it off.
Did you become regulars at the Hydro, or was that one among many places you stayed?
No, we either stayed at Port Erin Hydro or Ramsey Hydro. And that was getting a bit dilapidated then. That's why it became the Grand Island eventually.
What was it? When did you move to the Ramsey Hydro for the first time?
Can you remember?
Well, I don't know. We came in 59 and stayed at Port Erin at Hydro. Same in 61. We next came in 64, and was that when we started to move? Would it have been in 64 when Rosemary wandered off from the Moorach in Ramsey, and she made her way all along the coast and was found at the Ramsey Hydro? Would that have been when she was 14, do you think?
12,
yes.
I would have thought.
Yes.
Well, when she was 11,
yeah.
Perhaps. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well then that would have been, that incident would have happened in 61, and so when we came in 64, I think, did we move from the Port Erin to the Ramsey Hydro right at the end of the holiday?
I think so.
Why did you decide to move to the Ramsey Hydro?
Oh, just to see what it was like. But the children didn't have much fun there, did they? They didn't have special...
They got a good ballroom at the Ramsey Hydro, which was the social feeling was not there, and there were, the place was absolutely swimming with commercial travellers.
Oh, that was when we went quite a lot later. Wasn't
yes,
it?
But it was still starting then.
Mm.
Yes.
Because that was the place to go to. Mm.
And they had weddings there, didn't they? Well, they still do, don't they?
Yes. We probably went there just to get a base at the north end of the island so that we could see the bride and so on. It was more convenient for the northern part of the island.
And it was the same family.
Oh, yes. The Clegg family ran the two establishments, yes.
Yes.
Right. Did you meet Mr. Clegg and talk to him at all?
I don't think so, no. But you would have done, wouldn't you?
Not.
Wasn't
and your father that mentioned that also he there wasn't the social life. Did
yes.
you find that as a youngster? Did you find it wasn't so much fun as a port airing?
I don't think I was very interested in the social life as a youngster. I was unusual. So
you liked your own pursuits.
Yes, that's right. I don't think it bothered me.
Yes, because you were interested in the island as such from the word
yes.
go, weren't you?
Yes.
In the countryside and so forth.
Yes, yes.
You used to whiz off to Douglas to the for your family tree.
Well, now
stuff.
we're getting later now.
Oh,
that
yes,
started
yeah.
in 68, which was the next trip there. I mean, we can move on to that if you like.
Yeah, tell me about that. How old would you have been at the time?
I would have been 20, and then we stayed in the Hydra Port area then, and we had my sister with me and a friend of hers from school called Eve, and we all stayed at the Hydra Port area, didn't we? And then you had to go, and we stayed on, and
You moved to the hotel one time.
Yes,
round,
Snaefell, was it Snaefell Hydro or something?
Mm.
Or was it the Bellevue next door?
Bellevue,
did we stay
that
there?
Was
the Bellevue.
It, I think.
Well, it was in 1968 that I first started my family history research through my main help in those days was Edward Cotteen, who lived at Ballachalaig in Macleod, and he told me not to bother with the vicars, which I was planning to do, but to go to the Rolls office in Douglas, which I started to do. And so as soon as my parents were gone, I could devote myself full time to this occupation, and I used to zoom off in the car. I had my car with me and off to Douglas and do a morning's work there and come back to the hotel for lunch. It was full board, I think we were on at
so
these
it was,
hotels.
So it was 1968 and you were
yes.
on full board?
I think so, because we ate lunch in the hotel every day, so I imagine that
and that was
that
in,
we would have been.
In Ramsey?
No, in Port Erin.
Sorry,
we're still
in
Port Erin.
Yeah.
The Bellevue is now called something like the Countess
Princess
or the Princess
yes.
or one of those.
That's right. It's the next one down from the Hydra.
Yeah.
The Ocean Castle as it's become now.
Is it?
The Hydra is now the Ocean Castle, or was until it closed.
Yeah.
And then the next one down is was the Bellevue.
We're all wait. Well, unfortunately, I can't go to the Isle of Man because I got a false hip and a false knee.
Yeah,
so
not so.
My story ended the year before last.
Tell me about that last trip of yours. What was the particular pleasant memories of that? And
well,
I can tell you.
Hmm?
The music festival.
Yes, we had got involved with the music festival, and there are a couple of seats there with the Allens on them, and this is to do with the Isle of Man because it's my queer Manx father, you see, who decided that he was very fond of music and that I should start off, and the earlier the better, so he took me to Covent Garden when I was 6 years old, and he thought he'd take me to something really worthwhile, so he took me to an opera which started at 6 in the evening and finished at 11:30.
That was Parsifal, wasn't it?
That was Wagner's Parsifal, and there's not very many operas that last that long. And apparently everybody looked at me in horror when they saw this small boy, 6-year-old, going in and sitting in front of them. However, I kept quiet. But,
so that was what sparked off your interest in music, and that took you to the Manx Music Festival
years
later.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Still interested.
There,
and the wonderful
yes.
thing of that festival, if I'd like to emphasise this, because I do know a lot about music. The people who appear there are really, basically, the ones that are really interesting are of two kinds. There are the ones that are on the way up, which I might have heard on the radio or seen on television, but much more interesting to me, the ones which I had seen at the Royal Festival Hall, who in their prime, like Goosens or somebody like that, who were over the top, but were still superb players, and some younger players. I don't know if you know anything about
the pleasure of visiting the island. Philip, can I just talk about you and your family's experiences in coming to the Isle of Man? When did you first start bringing a family of your own over, and what was in your mind when you were planning your holidays and places to stay, things like that? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes. Well, I continued going to the Isle of Man on my own through the years. And
would you have stayed in boarding houses then, or would you with family?
I always stayed at a hotel. Now, when I started going on my own, I stayed in Douglas because, firstly, that's where all the government offices are, where I wanted to do my research, and secondly, from Douglas you can reach any part of the island quite quickly.
Indeed,
it was
yes.
the most most convenient, even for getting to Bride you could be there in not much over half an hour. So that's where I stayed, and initially I stayed in the Grand Hotel, which was very nice and spacious, and the Grand applied to the space only and not to the character of the proprietress, who was very nice and homely and friendly, and she had a lovely room. It was over the terrible Yates's Wine Lodge in Douglas, and but this was, you had to just pass through there and get up to this lovely place above. Wonderful high ceilings that I liked, wonderful view over the bay, and it was just by the...
Where was this?
Well, it was just by the harbour, in fact, just by the terminal. The Victoria Clock and the Sea Terminal, indeed. So that suited me down to the ground, and I was very sorry when that closed. And
did it look to you as if it was going to close, or did you
well,
think it was on the way out?
Well, I suppose so, because there were so few guests. Even in the height of the season, there weren't that many guests. But it's the proprietress seemed to keep it going. I think she lived there, and I know I used to come off season sometimes September or even October, and I stayed there with them, and I think I was about the only guest at that time of year, and then they used to take me into their private sitting room and so on. So I suppose I must have seen the writing on the wall and probably wasn't that surprised when it shut. And
where was this?
The Grand Hotel in Douglas. You never went there, you never saw it.
No.
And then I asked my friend Constance Radcliffe, who's still to the fore in Mackled, and asked her if she could recommend another place, and she recommended the Sefton Hotel in Douglas, which I'm sure today is very expensive, but in those days was within my means. I just had
expensive.
Yes, I just had a single room, and of course that was ideally placed near the foot of Crellin's Hill for the Manx Museum, and just along whatever road that is to the Rolls Office.
Finch
and Finch Road, yes. And I must say, when in 68, when I first started going doing this work, I could drive in from Port Eyre and park in right up against the House of Keys building, isn't it? I could park right there, But of course, only the highest of the high can go there now. Anyway, I didn't need to use the car when I stayed at the Sefton to do my work. And so that's what I did. And I used to mostly do a day's work in the offices. And then, being summertime, there was plenty of daylight left to go out to Bride or wherever it is and go and visit the people or the graveyards and do some walking over the weekend.
And bringing a car to the island, were you bringing your own motor car?
Yes, I was. I would drive up to
Liverpool.
Well, I drive up to Liverpool. I'm trying to think whether I stayed. Oh, yes. I would stay sometimes with my grandmother in Wrexham a few nights, and she always used to get worried because I was always late, and she was on the point of calling the police. And then I would stay a few nights with her and then drive on to Liverpool, which wasn't that far, the next in the morning and get the boat. So that's how I used to do it.
And can you tell me about when you first brought your family over?
Oh,
or
yes,
your wife,
right,
at
okay.
That point?
I continued to come over, and then in 1987, when I was due to get, well, married shortly, I brought my wife-to-be over to the Isle of Man, because I don't know whether she suggested it, since she knew it meant so much to me that she would like to see what it was like. And we stayed at Boyle Shuggle Farm, which I think is in East Baldwin. Yes, because it's a valley, you can see it from the mountain road, which we were slightly disappointed to find was not an old Manx farmhouse. It was a modern farmhouse, very comfortable, but it was a modern farmhouse. But
that's interesting, because was that a bed and breakfast, or was it
yes.
self-catering?
Oh yes, bed and breakfast, yes.
So you were deciding to stay there as opposed to a hotel or a boarding house?
Yes.
It's interesting. So what were the what was it that attracted you to that as opposed to a
Well, we had the big A4 size brochure that comes with a lot of hotels and boarding houses listed. Well, I think we wanted somewhere quiet, and I thought, since I wouldn't be doing a lot of work in the offices, I would try somewhere different that was in the interior. And so we looked through a number of those. I think the first one we looked at, we were attracted because it said no smokers allowed. So I thought we'll go for that one, which is also in the Baldwin Valley, but they were away themselves that particular week, so we couldn't stay there. And Boyle Shuggle was the next one to it, and it sounded an interesting name, and we thought it would be really Manx. And indeed, the proprietor had, you would approve of his Manx accents. He had a lovely Manx accent. I think he's there still and winning.
A strong Manx voice then.
He's still winning prizes, I think, at the agricultural shows.
Lovely.
He was certainly exhibiting a bull
lovely.
The time that we were there, and we went to the
yeah.
show at the Fair Moor or whatever it was, the big field. And so that was 87,
mm.
and the weather wasn't too good, as it so often isn't in the Isle of Man, and
rubbish.
And the last
when we went there, we sat in the sun on the Ramsey breakwater there, and we used to hear that the Wimbledon have been drained off
yes.
again.
It has its own climate.
It yes, it does. And I was there for the 1979 millennium, and that was wonderful weather the whole fortnight I was there.
Yeah,
but
wonderful weather.
Indeed. But 1987 wasn't so good at the time we were there, and my wife was a bit uncertain about whether she wanted to come here again. We had one lovely walk after supper. Of course, it was still the 6 o'clock supper time, which has really cramped your style for going out for the day, but it did give you time to go out afterwards. And we went right up Carrican, was it, one of the mountains there, and that was lovely. But just on our last day of the holiday, we went to Port Erin, and she thought that this was the place to bring the family, with the railway going there and the train museum and the lifeboat and the lighthouse and the whole setup. So she decided that was it, and we came back again the next year, 1988, with our family, and we stayed at the Towers Hotel in either the last or the penultimate year in which it was trading. Old Kegan, was it? Kegan that used to run it. He was a very old man at that time, and it was very run down. There weren't that many people. We went self-catering for cheapness, and they made a mistake over the bedroom. I think we'd asked for two bedrooms with room for two people in each, and they gave us one room with two double beds in it, not very large double beds either. So we demanded another room for the children, and in fact they were given another room in the ordinary part, the non-self-catering part of the hotel, and they came to us for meals.
They quite enjoyed that, actually,
yes, they
having
did.
A room miles away from mum and
they
dad.
Did. They did indeed, yes.
Freedom at last.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Yes. And I remember one of the things that in our little suite, our self-catering suite that they made, there was very little space to put anything down, and even the toilet did not have a lid on it, so that I remember my wife got very upset about that. She couldn't put
so
anything
you really
down.
Got
the
sense
it was a bit fussy, wasn't it?
Yes. Had been a place that had been just sort of modernised, but they hadn't been able to have the money to do it.
Yes, it was only modernised to the extent necessary to create a wing of self-catering flats. It was hardly modernised at all, just modified, I think, would be a better word for it. Yes. And then it closed either the next season or the season after that. And then when we came again, we found it had been demolished. And then most recently, we find a very attractive house has been built on the site of the towers. And you would never know that there had been the most enormous great hotel there, because there's this good-looking house that is standing where the hotel used to be, quite near the Braddock Glen. So that was 88. Do you want me to press on?
I think just a general sense, just to wind up, just to hear from everyone, what the thing that really caught your heart about the Isle of Man and that keeps you coming?